present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Hello and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a description from the TV listings page of the Brisbane Times, read by Diana Speed.
Diary of a Teenage Nudist follows the story of Bianca, an 18-year-old who grew up in a nudist club. Bianca now returns to nudism to examine the motivation of nudists and the whole nudist movement. Warning, contains nudity.
And our thanks to Richard Newsom for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Jeremy Hardy and John Robbins. And opposite them on my left, Camilla Long and Ramesh Ranganathan. Jeremy, which report makes for painful reading?
Well, this is the proof that extraordinary rendition does mean torture. If you don't believe that, you need to hear me sing. It's horrible. It's a Senate committee report. The last days where the Democrats have any say at all on Capitol Hill, they've managed to get their report out, which says what the CIA did in Afghanistan, which is not only grim and horrible, but just really weird and sick. And a lot of people are saying, well, it's not like, you know, real full-on sort of torture, you know, the sort of thing practiced by states that employ Tony Blair on a consultancy basis. But it's horrible, horrible stuff, like freezing a man to death in Kobalt detention centre in Afghanistan, waterboarding, and mashing up people's dinner and forcing it up their rectums with a tube. And even the worst care homes in Britain have never done anything like that. It's utterly grim. It's utterly horrendous. And they're saying, well, this provided valuable information. And all it does is provide valuable information on the darkness that the employees of supposedly democratic states are capable of. The mashing up people's food and putting it up their bottom and calling it rectal feeding. You just think, what kind of Heston Blumenthal restaurant have you been to?
Do you know, my son was a very bad eater, but even that never occurred to me. That just
The thing I loved about it was when the report came out, the people who'd sort of been involved with the whole thing, the way they dismissed it was just so completely undignified. I think sort of Dick Cheney said, this is full of crap. And one of the guys who was involved with it, the torture advisor, not something you want on your CV, said, the report is a load of hooey.
And Dick Cheney's defence was, yeah, we knew about it, so what? That was pretty much it. Really.
Yeah.
That was, yeah.
But also, I knew about it. How did I know about that? I knew about this. All knew about it.
This is
We've known about this for 10 years is what's depressing.
No, exactly.
Yeah. Then they say, it happened. Then nothing happens to them because that would set the worrying precedent of American politicians being responsible for their actions. But how is it possible for an idiot like me to know this stuff happened?
Are you sure you're not confusing Homeland with watching the news?
One of the things that upsets me, and that might seem trivial to you, but it's just ruined flying. You know, I don't like going to... I flew to Edinburgh recently... made the mistake of wearing a camouflage jacket. Now, you know, Asian man with a beard, camouflage jacket, I might as well say, can I have a rectal exam? Like, it's insane. And then people say, you know, well, the reason we're doing all of this when you go out to fly is because we don't want the terrorists to win. That's why you've got to strip off and you can't carry over 100 mils. We don't know what the terrorist initial goal was. What if the terrorist initial goal was just to make travelling really annoying? Because if that's what it was, then they have knocked it out of the park. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We don't want the terrorists to win. Yeah, just put your shoes in that bucket, mate. Enjoy. Congratulations on your victory.
There are also questions to be answered by MI6, of course,
yep.
and MI5, and by former Home Secretaries Jack Straw and David Miliband, who drew a very discreet veil over our involvement in it. And I would be very worried if I were Ed. I just think, you've pissed your brother off. You're going to wake up in an airbase one day.
The Senate Intelligence Committee has published its report into torture committed by the CIA in the wake of 9/11. Countries such as Iran, China and North Korea were quick to criticise the CIA's human rights abuses. And you know, when those guys are criticising your human rights abuses, you probably ought to take a jolly good look at yourselves. So, 2 points to Jeremy. John, have a listen to this.
Living on free food tickets, watering the milk from a hole in the roof where the rain came through. What can you do? Mm-hmm. You can live in the love of the common people. Smile from the heart of a family man. Daddy's gonna buy you a dream to clear.
said, let them eat cake, but only if they cook it themselves.
This is Lady Jenkin, who was on a committee who were doing a press launch for a study into why people use food banks, and she's caused controversy by saying that poor people who use food banks lack basic cooking skills. She said that her porridge cost 4p, whereas a bowl of sugary cereal like an idiot poor person would eat before they put their heroin on it would cost 24p. And I think it's just proof that it's not that, I don't want to generalise, it's not that Tories don't care, it's that they don't understand. You know, everyone knows the key ingredient to good cooking is time and electricity. Yeah. You know, a lot of these people are in situations where they haven't got, you know, gas hobs or Argus or whatever. So to suggest that it's just somehow because they haven't Googled how to make a lasagna is insane.
I think that's the point, actually. I think that the fact of the matter is that a lot of people across the spectrum don't actually know how to turn raw ingredients into a decent meal. And the
have you turned on the TV recently?
that's the whole
impossible.
Point.
I spend most of my day trying to forget how to cook.
You're sitting there on the sofa. You're not actually getting up and doing it actively. People don't know how to turn raw spaghetti into proper sort of, you know,
spaghetti.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't know how to cook it. That was the point she was making.
The people don't know how to boil spaghetti.
No, they don't.
All right, in fairness, yes. You know, we have an audience here. The listeners will be fascinated to know about 8,000 or 9,000 people here. How many people in the audience here know how to cook spaghetti?
All right, hands up. Hands up if you know how to cook spaghetti.
Liars.
You sit there staring at it.
No. How many people in the audience go to food banks? No,
that's
one.
That's a fair point.
Shame on you.
Point no.
I think actually the cookery programmes are to blame because I just haven't got an idea. I don't know what's going on. I watch a cookery programme in the same way that I might enjoy a magician. Like, there's no way I can make it. I don't know if you've ever tried to do Jamie Oliver's 15-minute meals. I tried to do that once. 7 days later, I still had some bread. I mean, it was insane.
Also, the problem is if you are poor, you're just knackered and you're tired and you just want some sugar or carbo. I mean, as George Orwell wrote about most people, they don't want some mung bean roulade or whatever the 1930s equivalent of that was. They want, you know, they want some carbohydrates.
It's not just the poor that come from. No, I've been to your house for dinner, Jeremy. We had to wait 3 hours for the food.
Well, that's also true.
When it arrived, they'd forgotten the poppadoms, so... But that's... give an extra point if anybody can tell me who's getting into a tiz over fizz.
This is a champagne story.
It is.
This is the House of Lords have said that they don't want to have the same catering department as the House of Commons because they think the people in the House of Commons drink lower quality champagne than they do.
Yeah.
And
you seriously couldn't make it up, could you?
No. Yeah. In the same week as Baroness Jenkin is talking about porridge, they've drunk something like 20,000 or something
Like that. Well, since 2010, the House of Lords has spent £265,000 on 17,000 bottles of champagne, which is less than I thought. I mean, honestly, most of them sound like they're pissed all the time, but I guess I wouldn't want to share catering with Radio 2. I think that's fair.
Do we...
Lady Jenkin, a member of a cross-party committee investigating the rise of food banks in Britain, has apologised after claiming one of the principal causes of food poverty was that poor people do not know how to cook food. At the launch, she said, I had a large bowl of porridge today which cost 4p, omitting to explain that she had it at the House of Lords where her meal was subsidised and the flavour improved by making it with champagne. The news came on top of a report that insists funeral costs are so high some people are having to do DIY funerals and bury loved ones in the garden. Lady Jenkin suggested it's because poor people don't know how to cremate. 2 points to John, an extra point to Camilla. Camilla, who may not be a lovebird after all?
Ooh, this is the latest sex scandal from UKIP in an attempt to stop us all wanting to have sex ever again. The a woman who was, I think, a prospective candidate called Natasha Bolter has alleged that the party chairman, hilariously named Roger Bird, I just want to go around shouting that out, you know. She seemed to insinuate that he came on to her inappropriately whilst he was interviewing her for a position in the party. And then he produced these extraordinary text messages in which he said they had a consensual relationship and she was saying things like, I love you and you're sort of perfect and things like that. And it turned out that she was, surprisingly for UKIP, a bit of a fantasist. Mm. And
that was the surprising element about the whole story.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah.
He also claimed that after joining UKIP, she'd heard racist and derogatory comments.
No.
Yes. I mean, it's devastating news for her. It just goes to show she'd never meet your heroes.
No, it's true.
she was, you know, she's their sort of first ethnic minority candidate, and they were... They didn't want Roger Bird to release those text messages because, like, in having an ethnic minority candidate, they sort of felt like they'd found a unicorn or something like that, and they wanted her protected. But I sort of looked at UKIP, the website, you know, I was sort of just checking it out because I thought, you know, they sort of get banded about as racist and whatever, and it's quite a nice website. You know, it's easy to navigate and stuff like that, so they've got some values. But
you went on the UCAS website?
Well, they accepted my application really quickly.
You're a clever man.
Well, that's the weird thing, because my dad was convinced that I could get into anything because he gave me the middle name Jonathan and told me to use that on application forms so that I wouldn't ever be a victim of racial discrimination when I was applying for jobs, because if it says Jonathan Ranganathan, obviously they just think I'm a white guy. And then I don't know what he thought was going to happen when I go to the interview. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is just a holiday town. Yeah. Been to the sun. But I sort of, you look at the UKIP policies, some of them are fairly sensible, you know, like they want to remove tax from the minimum wage and stuff like that. I found myself sort of agreeing with them. I thought, maybe I'm UKIP. Just sort of phone up my mum and say, what have you contributed? Do you know what I mean?
There's a very nice piece. Somebody had written in, I think it was in the Telegraph, somebody had written in and said they'd ever heard two kids talking. And there was some man at the bus stop and the two kids said, oh, don't go near him. He's a bit UKIP. And it's become a sort of slang thing for creepy, which I quite like. Got themselves into a jam over traffic.
Oh, Farage.
Farage
claimed that the congestion on the M4 is caused by immigrants.
Yeah.
In fact, it's true. You can always hear a huge tailback of Belgians from the High Wycombe turn-off.
To be fair, haven't we all got a bit racist in traffic?
Seriously, no.
No, really? I'm going out on a limb here. When it's really bad, you just take anything from the car that cuts you up. And
But you're assuming that car is
it says on the number plate.
Oh, I see.
I was with my
mean.
Girlfriend saying horrible things about the Chinese until she pointed out that CH means Switzerland. I've even got angry at people who buy from specific dealerships. Classic Reg Vardy behaviour from that Rover. Idiot.
Well, I have to say, if Farage thinks driving down the M4 took him forever, he should try doing it with a small person in the back screaming, "Are we nearly there yet?" every 2 minutes. My wife says she's never taking me to Bristol again. UKIP MP Roger Bird has been suspended after allegations of impropriety after former UKIP candidate Natasha Bolter claimed she was sexually harassed by the party's general secretary. Mrs. Bolter is a mother of five and former Labour Party activist who switched to UKIP 3 months ago when she first met Mr. Bird in what critics are calling Richard Curtis's best romantic comedy since Love Actually. 2 points to Camilla and an extra one to Jeremy. At the end of round one, the scores are Jeremy and John have got 5 points, but so too have Camilla and Ramesh. We start round two with the heading from a TalkTalk customer service email.
Subject: TalkTalk would like to hear about your experience. From donotreply@talktalk.co.uk.
And our thanks to Peter Lefevre for sending us that. John, who was crushed this week to be filmed playing on his iPad whilst happily unaware?
This is a cracking story.
It is.
This is Nigel Mills,
yes,
who is a Conservative MP who was at a committee meeting for Department of Work and Pensions and was caught playing popular iPhone game Candy Crush. And I don't know if you've seen the photos, they are very damning. He's on level 72. He's not using his lollipop hammers correctly. He's wasting a lot of his gold bars on switches he should be using from Extra Lives. He's an idiot. I have now had to delete Candy Crush on three separate occasions because it is the most addictive thing I have ever come across, and I smoked for 20 years. It's genuinely insane. I went to New Zealand this year for a month, or as my girlfriend refers to it, levels 101 to 160. I have lost work due to a computer game. I started playing a simulation game called Sims, which I started playing in 2008. I set up a character in that game. It's like a sort of alternate reality, who is a stand-up comedian. I am a stand-up comedian. I cancelled a gig so that I could get him to his first gig. His career is now going better than mine. This is my first appearance on the News Quiz. He's doing Mock the Week tonight. I have to admit, I do feel a bit sorry for him because MPs constantly in the press get such an ear bashing for not being normal, not connecting with normal people. And you think, he has done the most normal thing, something that is so normal. Every single person has done this in a meeting or when they've had a spare few minutes at the office. They switched off, played a couple of levels of Candy Crush, and suddenly the press are like, what? You're an MP. You're a public servant. You get paid. You can't be playing Candy Crush. And I think
Didn't he play it for like 2.5 hours straight?
And then
try and pretend
bit.
He'd had a game or two.
But I felt how out of touch I was. I didn't know it was an iPad game. I thought it was the name of a prostitute, because it just sounds... A Tory MP has been playing with Candy Crush for 2.5 hours in a meeting. I thought, wow, he's bold.
I sort of agree with John in terms of, I don't think it's his fault. The problem is technology. You know, like phones and iPads, they've just become too good. They've become too good for people. You know, I've got a phone that can access any website, I can watch any video, play any game. Why would I want to talk to my family? There's no way that they can compete with that. So I think the companies, if they want to be ethical about it, just go, look, we've realised... We've made this stuff too good. You no longer want to interact with anyone. We're going to try and make it more rubbish.
Are you calling for all MPs to be given Nokia 3310s?
Correct. Because you know when you sit in a restaurant and there's another couple and they're both looking at their phones and then you look at each other and go, isn't that a shame? No, it isn't. They're having a much better time than you. They are streamlining their entertainment. I'm hearing about your rash. Like, why...
Conservative MP Nigel Mills has been forced to apologise after being filmed playing puzzle game Candy Crush Saga on his iPad during a Commons committee hearing. Mills was left embarrassed to be caught playing with his iPad and apologised unreservedly. Well, I say, he apologised. He got Siri to do it. 2 points to John. Camilla, who has promised to ring the changes and then ring them again 5 minutes later.
Oh, this is one story I'm deeply thrilled about because I hate them. Something called the Nuisance Calls Task Force, which I would quite like to run the entire country, they're asking for the tests to be lowered so that companies can be fined. They can be fined up to $500,000 for making all these kind of unsolicited calls, for basically fleecing people who don't know how to deal with them properly. And I hope it works, frankly, because I hate them.
But what happened to the old days? When, if you had a nuisance call in the old days, it was a heavy breather.
My mother used to get those nuisance calls, and she absolutely loved them. She picked up, they went, ring, 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 she picked up the phone, and she'd go, hello, are you wearing any knickers? And she said, no, I'm not. Do continue. Like that. Hello.
At least they were interested in you, not just trying to sell you faster broadband.
At least it wasn't automated. I agree with you.
Maybe they should combine it. Like, are you wearing any knickers? Do you have PPI? Yeah.
I feel quite sorry for the nuisance call task force.
Yeah.
Because obviously they're going to have to contact people who've been subject to nuisance calls.
What do you think?
Information Commissioner's Office, or ICO, has promised new measures to tackle the modern-day menace of nuisance calls. Cold-calling companies could be fined up to £500,000 or be rung on the hour every hour by an irate pensioner. Some elderly people are too scared to answer the phone. One 88-year-old woman in Windsor hasn't answered her own phone in decades. 2 points to Camilla. Ramesh, who made the Big Apple all toffee this week?
Will and Kate went on a tour of New York. It's very exciting. Well, the problem was that it was a bit controversial because they went to watch Brooklyn versus Cleveland in the basketball. And, you know, there's a big thing about Jay-Z and Beyonce getting more of a better reception at the basketball match than Will and Kate did, which I think is absolutely unacceptable. Jay-Z hasn't done anything good for 5 years now. But also, the other thing was LeBron James got himself into trouble. He met Will and Kate and then posed for a photo and then put his arm round Kate, which apparently you shouldn't... Well, what I read was you shouldn't touch any of the royal family. I don't know how far down that goes, but you're not allowed to... I mean, I don't mean on the body. I mean, how far down... How far down the family.
But at least he didn't feel her baby bump, did he?
No.
Which, why do people do that? It's the weirdest thing. It's a woman's torso. It's not a carpet sample. It's the weirdest thing.
But she's not a royal. She's a commoner. Trade. Family got their money from trade.
Yes, but she's...
nice girl, but I'm sorry, it has to be said. She's not even related to William at all.
Wasn't it obviously just a shopping weekend?
Yeah.
Oh, for Christmas?
Yeah, of course. Mm. They were over there on this completely sort of ridiculous premise that they were promoting St Andrews University and elephants.
That was extraordinary. They attended a $6,400 a ticket St Andrews University fundraising dinner, and you think, wow, yeah, really going to the needy there. I mean, it's like having a Band-Aid single for bankers with RSI. I mean, it was... the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge this week travelled to New York on a royal visit and simultaneously racked up considerable column inches. On the trip, the couple met the rapper Jay-Z. Jay-Z famously worked his way up from the mean streets of Brooklyn to the top of society. Similarly, William had a breed of flower named after him at birth, so they had plenty to talk about. 2 points. John, why must you be this tall to listen to the news quiz?
Because the BBC have decided to license their programmes for theme parks based around the programmes in order to raise a bit of cash and reach out to children legally. And it's going to be great. It's so much fun. There's going to be a Top Gear theme park.
I mean, do you think it's all the programmes? Because I was thinking the one I want to see is Paul Lewis's Moneybox Live Land. The thrills, the spills, the fiscal responsibility. But this thing, this BBC theme park, is not due to open until 2020. By that time, the BBC will consist of, I don't know, John Humphrey sitting in a shed shouting into a walkie-talkie. I mean...
It's going to be rubbish. It's going to be like one of those... You know when your garden centre has a Santa's Wonderland and you turn up and there's a sort of disgraced Captain Birdseye look-alike and some plastic antlers tied to a Jack Russell...
Would you let them have a news quiz ride?
Yes, absolutely we'd have a news quiz ride, but only people under a certain height are allowed.
Do you think the revenue from this theme park is going to replace the licence fee?
They're expecting to create up to 27,000 jobs, which is how many people it takes to operate Nicholas Parsons, so that's... BBC Worldwide has signed a landmark deal to open a theme park scheduled for 2020 with rides based on BBC programmes. The rides are yet to be confirmed, but there are rumours there could be a special ride based on Ben Elton's sitcom, The Right Way, a ride which starts badly and then goes completely off the rails. Other rumoured rides include a Doctor Who-themed TARDIS simulator, a Sherlock-themed roller coaster, and the EastEnders experience, where visitors spend 30 years experiencing pain and misery with no end in sight. David Tester, director of London Resort Company Holdings, said the London Paramount Entertainment Resort will combine the glamour of Hollywood with the best of British culture. Such mergers are rumoured to be taking place all over the BBC. You've been listening to the news quiz, hosted by me, Scarlett Johansson. 2 points to John. Ramesh, why could the best gift at Christmas time be time at Christmas?
Oh, the Archbishop of Canterbury has said that we, in the run-up to Christmas in Britain, we spend too much money on presents and we get too stressed out about, you know, creating this list of people we have to buy gifts for and spend too much money and people get into sort of debt and things like that. And he's suggesting that what we should do is be less materialistic to, I don't know, make things. Make offers of babysitting, just spend time with our loved ones at Christmas rather than giving them a present. And I think, you know, it's interesting for someone who believes so strongly in the sanctity of marriage to suggest something that jeopardises that so strongly. it's an interesting strategy.
Do you not think it's a bit hypocritical for the Archbishop to say people shouldn't lavish gifts at Christmas? I mean, you are talking about the anniversary when a newborn baby was handed solid gold by a king, you know. Wise men did not turn up and offered a babysit so Mary and Joseph could go for a drink at the inn. Do you know what I'm saying?
The three wise men turning up and going, we've got you gold frankincense and we sponsored a goat on your behalf. Do you know what I mean?
I do do all of my shopping in charity shops, and last year I gave my wife a statue of a dog with a slot in the top of his head.
Has anyone done that thing where you and your partner agree that you're not going to do presents? And you think, oh, God, how serious is she about this?
Because that's give you a clue.
I mean, how many people have come across doing that one?
It says the opposite. That's the problem. It is, we're not going to do presents, but we are. Yeah. That's all it says.
The best present I've ever got anyone was years ago, an ex-girlfriend of mine wanted a skeleton, a fake skeleton, like those ones they have in sort of laboratories and like biology classes.
Thanks for explaining skeleton for us, John.
It's all right, mate.
That's really handy.
I was thinking, what could he be talking about?
source it from
a body.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah. But anyway, so I managed to get one from Germany.
Obviously.
Yeah. It was definitely plastic. I got the skeleton over. It came in a box, a big box. And she was away on holiday. And it was the year of the really bad floods in Gloucester, and that's where she lived. So she said, can you please go and check on my house? I've seen like footage of people canoeing down the streets. So I went up, and I thought, while she's away, I'll leave the skeleton there as a surprise. And then I had a bit of a brainwave. And I put it together, and I laid it out on her bed. And I wrote a note that said, hey, came to check on the house, all was fine, then the floods came, tried calling for help, there was no answer, I hope you get here in time. I just put the note in the skeleton's hand. Classic. She was mortified, but...
I'm so happy for that story. Because I think it's true.
Oh, it's true. It's true.
What a funny prank.
My brother's really rubbish at gifts. One Christmas, he just gave me a scrap of paper and it said on it, I'd have bought you a handkerchief, but I didn't know the size of your nose. Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, has said Christmas gifts should express life, not luxury, advising people to give gifts such as time, babysitting and charity shop items instead of expensive presents. The Archbishop said you could give someone something small which says, I care. I don't know what that is. A bottle of contact lens solution. He also said you could give someone the gift of time by offering to babysit for a night, or the gift of company by inviting a lonely elderly person round for dinner. Or kill two birds with one stone and invite a lonely elderly person round to babysit and then nip off to the cinema.
I think at Christmas it's very important to think of your friends who are alone at Christmas and then remember why they're alone at Christmas.
At the end of round two, the scores are Jeremy and John have got 9 points, but so too have Camilla and Romesh. We start round three with a cutting from the Exeter Express and Echo.
A man was jailed after being found pleasuring himself with hair removal cream in a Torquay beach shelter. An Exeter judge told him he'd been caught red-handed.
Thanks to Paul Dodds for sending us that. Jeremy, what are the books we can put down this year?
They've done a list. Because the thing is, if you read off a Kindle, then they basically know what you're reading and they know what page you're up to and if you don't finish the book and where you are when you're reading it and what your relationship status is and what parties you went to at the weekend. And they just know everything about you. So basically, they know the books that aren't finished, which is a lot of the bestsellers and most famous and most highly regarded books. People just think, well, I've got the gist of this now. And they don't bother. But, yeah, we don't finish books, apparently.
Well, and quite a staggering. 12 Years a Slave, most people, only 28.8% reading the book finished it. And actually, it is pretty heavy going. I remember going to the cinema, I thought, wow, if a film ever needed a bloopers reel, this is the one. It's...
The thing is, if you've already seen the film, which is probably why you would buy the book, then you know what happens.
To be fair, though, if you only read the first two chapters of 12 Years as a Slave, it's actually quite an uplifting story about a black guy who gets into society by playing the violin.
Yeah.
So just stop there.
Stop there and think, oh, that's
quite
nice.
Fun.
Yeah. That's exactly where everybody stops, clearly. Yeah. That's what they do.
If you stop early in Animal Farm, it's just a story about a very well-managed farm.
most uncompleted book is The Goldfinch by Donna Tartt, and that is a fantastic book. It is 784 pages long. I love a big book like that, and I can reach the shelf where I keep the gin.
Presumably, they can tell if you just skip to the end as well on Kindle. They can tell if you've cheated.
Because I don't like the idea of them watching. That's really spooky that they're watching while you're reading.
Who is watching?
Kobo and the e-tail readers, and then they pass the information on to the CIA, who come around and feed you in an unpleasant manner.
Do you think there's something else?
I don't understand why anybody reads books on a Kindle anyway. The whole point of reading big books like that is to show off to people on the train. So I read Che Guevara's biography for 7 years just so that people in my work group would think I was really intelligent. I didn't get past like page 7.
People read filth on e-books. I was standing next to a man on the London Underground system, and
was he downloading onto his laptop?
Well. Smart. He had a really nice suit on. He looked perfectly smart, and he was reading. My eyes nearly fell out of my head.
What was it?
Filth.
Was it filth for ladies or was it filth for men?
It was boy on boy filth that he was reading. Anyway, I made a mess of it because I went like that and he turned. And he went like this, and he was trying to put it away. And we both had a very awkward.
Can you say what the title was? If you're standing in a train reading a proper, you know, gay sex manual, what's it?
Manual?
Is that like a Haynes manual?
Theoretically. Yeah.
Can the pages get stuck together on a Kindle?
No, it just gets short-circuited.
I'm suddenly thinking about a pop-up book for a sex manual. That's a really fantastic idea. I like that a lot.
We were talking about high-class literature. I'm glad we've taken it down an avenue we can all enjoy. That's lovely.
I think that the worst... I like that, you know, that game. We must play that game, Jeremy. We have to think of the titles of books that will never sell. And of those, my favourite was always Improve Your Reading, because if you could read, you wouldn't want it, and if you couldn't read, you'd have no idea what it was about. So... A new survey by Kobo, an e-book retailer, has come up with a list of the books that we buy but don't finish. Britain's found romance to be the most engaging genre, with 62% of reader completion. Fantasy achieved 60% completion, with the other 40% unable to finish Tony Blair's memoirs. Other books left unfinished include 12 Years a Slave, the true story of Solomon Northup, and 5 Years a Lackey, the true story of Nick Clegg. I still haven't finished the Bible, if I'm honest with you. I have to put my fingers in my ears every Easter so I don't hear any spoilers. 2 points to Jem. Romesh, which Luxembourgian is having a taxing time over his corporation deals?
This is the president, of the European Commission, Jean-Claude Juncker, or Junks, as I like to call him. And now it's been uncovered that he was actually setting up these sort of dodgy kind of Del Boy deals with multinational companies to set up in Luxembourg. So companies like Disney, Skype, based in Luxembourg. He was basically sorting them out. Harry said to him, like, look, if you want to come to Luxembourg, mate, I can sort something out. Don't worry about it. You've got a problem? Just come to old Junks. I'll sort it out for you. I think his biggest crime is just encouraging Skype, because I find it so annoying. You know, like, having no block to talking to family members abroad is inconvenient. It was annoying enough when they brought the little phone cards in where you could phone for cheaply, because you could always use expense as an excuse, but now you just have to talk to your family members as they freeze frame in front of you in Australia and pretend that you're having a really lovely time. It's the most irritating experience ever.
Maybe you should domicile yourself in Luxembourg for relative purposes. There's no signal here. It's all taken up by Radio Luxembourg. You can't get any communication out of the country.
Well, I had a look to see what there is to do in Luxembourg other than, you know, set up a tax haven. This is the top TripAdvisor things to do in Luxembourg. Number one, visit the American Cemetery. And it gets its high rating partly because it's just off the motorway. Number five, the Luxembourg City Tourist Office, who will direct you to the American Cemetery. You can go for the cuisine. The national dish is called Bunnerschlupp, and it's green bean soup with potatoes, bacon and onions, and who's not wanted that at some point in their lives?
They're a duchy, so how come they don't export organic biscuits?
Very
What are they exactly? Are they actually a country, or are they a weird sort of principality?
They're that thing in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, I think.
I had forgotten that Luxembourg was an actual place until I read this story.
Is it really there, or is it just an electronic country?
It's sort of so boring that you lose interest whilst saying its name.
Do you think it's a CIA black side?
Well, their national dish does sound like something that's been shoved up someone's arse in a tube.
My favourite bit of this story is a man called Bob Comfort, which sounds like a pillow you'd use in the bath. And he's the former head of tax for Amazon, which has got to be the easiest job on the planet. And what I like about him, he's retired, but he's now the honorary consul for Luxembourg in Seattle, Washington, despite the fact that there are just 4 Luxembourgians in the entire state. It is the most pointless role since UKIP employed a council for Polish lesbian party members. I mean, it's fantastic. Jean-Claude Juncker, the European Commission president, has come under increasing pressure after details emerged of tactics he used to help make Luxembourg the destination for tax-avoiding multinational corporations. Through various loopholes, companies who came to Luxembourg were allowed to pay tax rates of less than 1%, or in Jimmy Carr terms, far too much. Amazon is just one of many companies that have shifted their headquarters to Luxembourg, a move which is not only suspicious, but hugely impractical, as Amazon's warehouse is twice the size of the country. The scandal has been referred to as LuxLeaks, which coincidentally is Luxembourg's leading incontinence pad manufacturer. 2 points to Romesh. Camilla, who's planning a school trip to Roar on the Lions?
This is a strange initiative by a college in Brighton to enlighten its sociology students to the ways of the working class by taking them to a match, I think between Brighton and Hove, something.
And
Millwall, yeah, where they can learn about sexism and racism. And Millwall have become very, very angry about this, and they've said they aren't sexist and racist. The whole of football is. So.
Well, that's all right then.
And they could go and they could sort of eat pies and drink Bovril. And even meet some of the fans. It sounds like a night out, really, doesn't it? I mean,
no, they were promised the opportunity to talk to a football fan. I think feeding and stroking one was discouraged, but I think
that's going to go well. I do like your bobble hat. Are you a Nazi? I think the professor who heads the sociology department must think that My Fair Lady is a documentary.
He said, his name's Peter Barley, he said the trip allows the students to see gender performance in action. If you ever needed a new name for football, that's... I wish you were in charge of sport, though, Camilla, because I like you going Brighton and Hove and somebody else and something. So I have no interest in sport whatsoever, and it doesn't matter what time I turn on the 24-hour news channel, somebody at that point goes, and here now the sport.
So there's Rangers versus... I went to a Rangers match, actually.
Did you?
So I went and sat on the terraces in a Rangers match, and I drank Bovril.
Oh, my gosh, how did you survive?
I was quite frightened. But I did survive. I'd stayed the whole game. It was very nice.
Unless you were visibly a Roman Catholic, you would be entirely safe.
Yeah, they were quite pro-English people. So, if it had been down the other end, it might have been tougher.
If you'd worn a.
Is that a CIA euphemism? Are you a football fan, John?
Yeah, I am, but I struggle to see is it sociology, isn't it?
Yeah.
Once they've been and studied the habits of the commoner at the football game, how is that going to be any use in an exam? Are they going to be set a question like, in less than 100 words, answer, who ate all the pies? Also, you'll have to demonstrate you can throw a pound coin at a referee. It's terribly patronising.
You have to turn the differentiation between the Marxist and Weberian schools of class analysis into a chant.
Well, apparently, I've been reading more than I care to about Millwall, their fans famously sing the song No One Likes Us, We Don't Care, which I thought was the Lib Dems official anthem. Van Deen College in Brighton have attracted controversy this week after an advert for a sociology trip to watch a Brighton versus Millwall football match was leaked. The poster promised students the opportunity to encounter issues around sexuality, race and ethnicity, as well as the chance to learn 20 inventive words to describe a referee. Van Deen College provide a series of student and adult learning courses and are the only college in the UK to offer an A-level in advanced patronising. Despite the fuss surrounding this, the school has a successful and fully functioning curriculum, even finding half an hour in the week for enrichment lessons where students are encouraged to go out and laugh at people in the park to their heart's content. 2 points to Camilla. Before we reveal the final scores, has anybody brought a cutting that they would like to share?
This has been sent in by Jonathan Harris. It says, an article in the Wellington Dominion Post reported that one Anne Maynard has sued Wellington Hospital, alleging that after her husband had surgery, he had lost all interest in sex. A hospital spokesman replied, Mr. Maynard would admit... It's very funny. A hospital spokesman replied, Mr. Maynard was admitted for cataract surgery. All we did was correct his eyesight.
Okay, this is from Helen Ticehurst, and it's from the window of the Cake Doodle Doo Cafe in Exeter. And it's a little notice that they put up, and it's very topical. It says, breastfeeding mums welcome. If you are a UKIP supporter, we politely ask for the comfort of other customers that you eat in the corner or in the toilet or under a large tablecloth that we can drape over you. We're sure you understand that when people are eating, they don't want to have to look at a complete and utter tit. Thank you.
Let's take a look at the final score. Camilla and Romesh have got 13 points, but this week's winners are Jeremy and John with 14. Before we leave you, here is a movie description from the TCM Freeview channel spotted by Simon John.
Film, The Macintosh Man, starring Paul Newman, contains flashing images.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz with Jeremy Hardy, John Robbins, Camilla Long and Romesh Ranganathan. In the chair with Sandy Toksvig, and the news was read by me, Diana Speed. The chair's script was written by Simon Littlefield, James Bugg and Tom Neenan, with additional material by Phil Chapman and Gabby Hutchinson-Crouch. The producer was Sam Michel.